This is part two of simple shape from shading using Carlotto's method and an MS Excel spreadsheet. Part two concerns the parts of the spreadsheet called demcarlottomethod.xls. My name is Kurt Fisher and I'm the spreadsheet author. In part one, we covered basic concepts involving shape from shading algorithms. From here on out, we'll abbreviate shape from shading as FSS. In this part, we, with that background knowledge of concepts, will proceed to actually use the spreadsheet. This training segment concerns the generation of a digital elevation model, or DEM, how to output that model from the spreadsheet into various text files that can be used by other programs. Left for part three of these training presentations will be turning an actual user image into a text data file and then importing that file into the spreadsheet demcarlottomethod.xls. Next slide. Learning objectives for this part are to learn the components or parts of the digital elevation spreadsheet demcarlottomethod.xls. We will relate the parts of the DEM generation spreadsheet back to the basic concepts surrounding shape from shading algorithms that we learned in part one. We'll learn where the test data is located, how to generate a DEM. Next slide, slide three, and how to view the resulting output in three dimensions using a virtual reality modeling language browser plugin, or VRML plugin with your Internet Explorer, Netscape, or Safari browser. As you take more images of lunar domes, you'll build up a library of image data. We'll show you how to where that data is stored for the long term in the spreadsheet. Then how to get it out of long-term storage and put it into the temporary working image pixel map. After it's in the temporary working area, you can then regenerate a DEM as needed. Next slide, slide four. As noted earlier, the basic operations will be covered except for importing your digitized image into the spreadsheet. We'll leave that for part three. Next slide, slide five. At this point, you have downloaded and installed a series of software, ancillary software programs such as the VRML Cortona plugin. You've also downloaded the distribution version of demcarlottomethod.xls from the project website. I would go ahead and make a copy of that, a backup copy, if you inadvertently corrupt your master during the learning process, then you can quickly restore a version and continue with the slide lessons. Next slide, slide six. In part one, we learned about the abstract objects that are used by simple shape from shading algorithms like Carlotto's method. Those were the image pixel map, the gradient elevation map, the sum gradient map, and the digital elevation model. Three of those four abstract objects have physical counterparts in the spreadsheet Carlotto I'm sorry, demcarlotta method.xls. To keep things simple, the worksheets inside the Carlotta method spreadsheet have exactly the same names as their abstract counterparts. And there's a worksheet named Image Pixel Value Map and a worksheet named Gradient Sum Map and a worksheet entitled Digital Elevation Model, or it's abbreviated DEM. Next slide, slide 7. I'd go ahead and open up your copy of the distribution version of demcarlotta method.xls. You'll note, looking down at the names of the worksheets at the bottom, that there is one labeled pixel value. Image pixel value map, as shown on this slide number 7. You will not see the worksheet labeled gradient elevation summed or DEM. Those will be generated in a few more slides, and then they will appear in the spreadsheet. Next slide, slide 8. In part 1, concerning basic concepts surrounding the SFS algorithm, we learned that these four objects have certain mathematical operations applied to them. Those mathematical operations are implemented in the demcarlotta method.xls spreadsheet through behind-the-scenes Visual Basic for application coding. Next slide, slide 9. And a worksheet labeled Workflow Menu controls the execution of each of those operation steps. To keep things simple, and again we're looking at slide 9, workflow is guided on the workflow menu through a total of five sequential steps, which are labeled on the left-hand side of the screen as step 1, 2, 3, and 4. The one you're probably most interested in is under step 4, and that button labeled Generate DEM. That's the button that does the key work of turning your image with its pixel brightness values into an elevation model, usually calibrated in meters. Next slide, slide 10. To get right down to it, the distribution version of demcarlotta method.xls that you received is preloaded with test data from an actual image of the lunar dome Cauchy Omega. The spreadsheet is ready to generate a DEM, so I would go ahead and hit the Generate DEM button right now, and we'll talk about the workflow menu as it's proceeding to do computations. Next slide, slide number 11. On the workflow menu, you have three types of objects. There are command buttons, like the one you just pressed, Generate DEM. There are data entry cells that are color-coded in turquoise or blue. And then there are status messages. As the DEM is generating, the spreadsheet will give you progress reports. And finally, there are computational results, which are also coded in yellow as messages coming back to you from the spreadsheet. Next slide, slide 12. This slide again illustrates a couple of the key status messages that appear on the workflow control menu. The first one tracks the generation of your digital elevation model, or DEM. The second one tracks whether or not you've successfully outputted your digital elevation model to a text file. Next slide, slide 13. And on slide 13, when you're generating a DEM using this spreadsheet, there's a cycle you go through of generating a DEM, perhaps changing some settings in order to refine it, and then regenerating the DEM. And so in this slide, and also in the practice worksheet that you have in front of you on your computer, we want to practice going through that basic cycle, and there are four steps to it that are illustrated in this slide. Usually you might adjust one of the settings in step three of workflow menu. If there's a pre-existing DEM, and at this point you will now have a worksheet that says is labeled DEM for DEM, and another one that's labeled gradient sum map or gradient elevation map. And before you can refine and regenerate the DEM a second time, you have to delete the pre-existing DEM. If you don't do that, if you just hit generate DEM twice in a row, the second time it goes through, it'll give you an error message, and the process will error. It'll tell you to go back and hit the delete buttons, and the process will eventually error out. So what we want to do now is hit the delete DEM button and the delete gradient sum map. That'll erase the two the DEM and the worksheet that you just generated. And then go ahead and hit the generate DEM button again, and then it will regenerate the DEM for you a second time. Now, once you've gone through this process of refining a DEM, where it's to the point that you feel fairly confident that it accurately represents the feature on the face of the moon, then you want to output the DEM to text files that you can then turn into some kind of a graphical chart, or to view the feature in three dimensions using a VRML enabled web browser. That's done by the fourth button, which is labeled Make DEM.txt files. Assuming you've hit the Generate DEM button and the process status line now reads, your DEM has been successfully generated. It normally says elapsed time, about 16 seconds for the test data on the Cauchy Omega dome. We can now go ahead and output those text files, and just go ahead and hit the Make DEM point text files button, and you'll again can watch the progress messages. Next slide, slide 14. Now that we have a taste for how a digital elevation map is generated using the spreadsheet, let's go ahead and just do a global review of all of the worksheets inside the spreadsheet DEMCarlotto method.xls. Slide 15. And again, the worksheets will parallel the objects that we studied in the first part on basic concepts of SFS algorithms. The first worksheet is labeled image pixel value map. This is your raw image of the lunar feature that's been turned into brightness values between for an 8-bit image 0 through 255. Next slide, slide 16. After the image pixel map is turned into a gradient elevation map, the gradient elevation map is summed, creating the spreadsheet the worksheet that we're looking at now. The gradient elevation summed worksheet. The computer generates this one and regenerates it each time that you hit the DEM generate button. Next slide, slide 17. And then the final step in the algorithm, the SFS algorithm, is to convert the gradient elevation summed map into a digital elevation model that is expressed in meter or kilometer contours. And that worksheet is labeled DEM, D-E-M. Next slide, slide 18. The creation of the gradient elevation summed map and the digital elevation model are all controlled by the workflow menu or workflow control menu. Again, in order to make its use easier, the workflow menu is divided up into five sequential steps, numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Couldn't be more straightforward. Next slide, slide 19. There are a number of other worksheets that we'll quickly flip through in demcarlottomethod.xls. These spreadsheets are not part of the core mathematical processing of the spreadsheet. They're involved in ancillary or secondary activities such as the storage of your library of image pixel maps of various lunar features, a processing checklist to keep you on track throughout the entire process from taking the image down to viewing your final DEM in a VRML enabled internet browser. And so what we'll do is go through some slides showing you each one of these, a sample of each one of these types of spreadsheets. And what I want you to do is to, as we're talking about them, is to go to your distribution version of the spreadsheet that you have loaded right now. You know, click along the names of the worksheets at the bottom of your Excel screen and you know, look at the physical copies in your distribution version of the of demcarlottomethod.xls. Let's go to slide 20. The first type of ancillary worksheet in the spreadsheet is, worksheets that just store your previous image pixel maps that you've developed from lunar images. There are 10 sets of sample data worksheets that are preloaded into the distribution version of demcarlottomethod.xls. So the first one, you'll note it's labeled store IPM. That means store image pixel map. I've named it something meaningful to me. This one says that I'm storing the image pixel map of Cauchy Omega that was discussed and actually taken from Rick Evans' 2006 article in Selenology Today. These storage worksheets, or stored image pixel maps, are essentially copied, loaded into the working image pixel value map, and then you can generate a DEM for that particular feature. Next slide, slide 21. Although we didn't look at things closely on the workflow control menu, there were some data entry boxes on the workflow control menu that accept information about when the image, about the scale of the image, the altitude of the sun at the time that it was taken. You need a place to store this kind of information about the image pixel maps that you've put into long-term storage. There's a worksheet that accommodates that. It's basically kind of an observing log. It's called Store Image Info Log. Again, pretty straightforward. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 22. There's also a image processing checklist. This checklist is designed to keep you on track after you've taken your image to process it into a manner that it can be accepted into the Excel spreadsheet demcarlottomethod.xls, and then finally viewing the spreadsheet in the resulting DEM in a VRLM browser. This image processing checklist is embedded as a worksheet inside the spreadsheet. It's also available as a separate Word document at the project website, and it's among the training materials you have already downloaded. Let's go to the next slide, slide 23. Another specialty worksheet inside of the DEM generation spreadsheet is a scratch sheet, meaning it's a place to make rough notes and calculations. This one is labeled vertical DEM slices hyphen scratch sheet. The purpose of this sheet is to prepare vertical slice charts of your feature showing the maximum elevation. Basically, you copy a row and a column and then paste static copies of the data from a row and a column in your DEM onto this scratch sheet. A lot of the setting up of the usual Excel chart graph is already done for you. You just need to tweak things a little bit to get the vertical slice chart for your particular lunar feature. For those of you who follow Selenology Today, you've probably seen any number of these vertical slice charts in articles published in that magazine or journal. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide number 24. Another worksheet inside the spreadsheet is labeled calculators. These are just some miscellaneous calculation aids to do minor computations that are related to calculating the height of a lunar dome. The one of most interest is the C calculator, which is the Lunar Geode Cigeta calculator. On the moon, the horizon is perhaps 2 kilometers away for a person of average height. A lunar dome can be 10 kilometers in diameter. So part of the apparent height of a lunar dome is in fact the curvature of the moon's geode beneath the dome. The utility calculator labeled Lunar Geode Cigeta helps you compute the contribution of the curvature of the moon to the height of the feature. Usually you subtract that from the apparent height of the feature calculated inside your digital elevation model. Next slide, slide 25. Earlier we talked about refining a DEM, the concept that you will initially generate a rough draft of a digital elevation model using the workflow control menu. You'll maybe change some of the characteristics that you input into the input in the control of creation of your DEM, and refine it so you get a digital elevation model that's hopefully fairly close to the actual real feature. One of those possible adjustments is to set a base elevation for your digital elevation model. In the Carlotto SFS algorithm, elevations in the digital model are expressed in relative terms relative to the high or I'm sorry relative to the average brightness of pixels in any one row. So although it's going the model is going to express correctly the relative elevation between any two points, or the relative elevation between a maximum point and the minimum point, the resulting numbers aren't going to necessarily coincide to what we perceive as the baseline elevation surrounding a feature. So what zero basing your dam means is that you can pick a point somewhere in your digital elevation model, call that the zero level or base terrain elevation, and you'll regenerate the dam, only this time we're going to adjust all the elevations so that base elevation control point will read zero and all the other elevations will be modified accordingly relative to that control point. To help you do this, as a dem is generated, certain statistics are reported, namely the minimum and the maximum elevation inside your digital elevation model. If you go to the dem worksheet, and you can then use control find inside Excel to seek out those values. In the slide we're looking at, the dem computed a maximum elevation of 151.4 meters. You can use Control F, plug in 151.4, and then Excel will recenter in the spreadsheet on top of that maximum elevation. Similarly, you can do the same thing for the minimum elevation. This is deciding which cell you're going to zero base is a, you know, an experience, judgmental kind of a decision. You have to look at your image. You have to look at prior studies on the lunar terrain, particularly control points in the Uniform Lunar Control Network for 2005. And from there you pick a cell and decide that's going to be the control elevation. Next slide, slide 26. In this example, I've decided that the cell that contained an elevation 5 meters was the zero base control elevation. So going back to the workflow control menu and that item 3C, I've entered in minus 5 to subtract 5 meters from all of the values inside the dem. At this point, you would delete the dem, delete the gradient sum map, and then regenerate the dem, and you'll get back a set of elevation values that are now all zero-based adjusted to that control point. Don't be shy. I'd go ahead on your working distribution copy that you have loaded up right now and go ahead and put in a an appropriate value in the base terrain radius data entry point and go ahead and rerun your dem and see how it's or regenerate your dem and see how the numbers in the dem change. A particularly useful particularly good use for this feature is to adjust all of your elevations in your digital elevation model to pre-existing contour maps or future dems that may be generated by professional astronomers. Normally, digital elevation maps of the moon are expressed in terms of a lunar radius that each point is a certain number of kilometers from the center of an abstract center point of the moon. And you can regenerate your dem expressed in kilometers and using a estimate of what the zero point elevation of your feature is computed or averaged from surrounding uniform lunar control network points. That's process is illustrated in this slide, and let's go to slide 27, which is the next slide. By way of illustration in this slide, I've decided that the first time I ran the dem, which was on a scale of meters, I found a cell that said it had an elevation of 5 meters, and I decided that that was the control point. Here I'm adjusting the base elevation to based on the value in that cell. So the base elevation is going to be 1,734 kilometers and 705 meters. You'll notice that I've also changed the image scale, so that's instead of being expressed in meters, it's expressed the number used to read 363 meters, it's now expressed in kilometers, or 0.363 kilometers. Now, if you enter those numbers, you also notice I had to change the DEM precision. Initially, when we did the first draft of the DEM, it was in meters. The precision was one digit, which gave us tenths of 1 meter. Here we're producing a DEM that is zero base to kilometers. So to get down to the 1 kilometer level, we need a precision of three digits. Let's go to the next slide, slide 28. And here's a slide illustrating the regenerated DEM. You can see it's the same elevations that were expressed in the original DEM in meters, only everything is now zero base to a standard lunar radius of 1,373 kilometers and 705 meters. Don't be shy. You've got your distribution copy in front of you. Go ahead and, you know, practice on this. Run it a few times until you feel you can consistently get the same results that you see here on the demonstration slide. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 29. Now you've gotten handy generating digital elevation models using the preloaded test data for the Cauchy Omega Dome. You want to get your test data out of the spreadsheet and turn it into a format that you can use to actually view the resulting DEM in three dimensions. In demcarlotto.xls, this is achieved by writing or outputting text files. You then can open up the text files in other graphics programs, or the thing we'll be demonstrating here repeatedly are 3D graphics using virtual reality modeling language, or VRML, which can easily be viewed with a VRML enabled internet browser. Next slide, slide 30. Once you have your DEM refined, outputting the files is really straightforward. You just hit the Make DEM Point Text File button. You'll see the progress updates cycle through each one of those five default files that are created. One point, though, is that when you hit the Make DEM Point Text File button, it's going to update the file names that you see there and overwrite any pre-existing files. There are no delete warnings, so if you don't want to lose any work, make sure you go back and make some copies of your first drafts. You can put a full path name or any name inside the path and file name data entry boxes, and there's five of them there. I'd suggest you leave the file names alone, use them. If you want to put a full path name in front of the file names, by all means do so. In Windows XP, if you don't put a file name in, the files get dumped in the last active directory. Usually that's the infamous Windows My Documents directory. That's the way I run mine. Works pretty well. Now, when you want to see detail in a 3D model of a DEM, a 3D rendering of a DEM, using virtual reality modeling language, for example, a lot of lunar observers like to exaggerate the height, the Z-plane heights, to bring out more detail. Lunar domes are very broad, typically, you know, 5 to 10 kilometers, and don't have a lot of elevation to them. They can be anywhere between 100 and typically 500 meters tall. Height exaggeration helps to bring out the shape. You'll note that there are some options there where you can set the height exaggeration for the VRML outputs. The elevation grid model file has a height exaggeration of 3 shown on this slide. The 3D floating point VRML model has a height exaggeration of 20. You can change these to taste. Some people like 10, some people like 5. Do what looks visually the best for the feature that you're working on. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 31. Now, for those of you who haven't worked with 3D elevation grids before, they have a kind of an odd and unique limitation. Elevation grids are based on the notion that you just have a numbered set of equally spaced data points on an N by M matrix. The scales of those are abstract. We're used to this in, for those of us who do astrophotography and lunar photography, because we're constantly looking at images that are dimensioned abstractly in pixels. It's the same concept. The problem is, in most digital elevation models, the scale in the XY plane of the abstract pixels is too small relative to the altitude. So, for example, in a digital elevation model, you might have a part of an image that's 70 by 80 pixels in the XY plane, but the elevations are expressed in meters, and so they may go up to, a value of 300, 500, or even 1,000, representing a dome that's 1 kilometer tall. Well, you try to graph that in three dimensions, and you get the odd-looking shape that you see on slide 31. The way that 3D rendering programs fix this is to have a XY spacing value that you can use to stretch the model out. There's a setting make the text point file section of the workflow menu that lets you set that multiplier. This one happens to be set at 70. The one that's going to work or visually look the most real depends upon the ratio of the height of the feature to its true XY plane dimension. Again, you just have to experiment to get something that looks close to what the feature is like. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 32. Here I've rerun the exact same output file, the same digital elevation model that you saw in the preceding slide, only now instead of the multiplier, the XY spacing multiplier being 1, it's now set to 70. Now we've got a VRLM 3D rendering that looks like a lunar dome. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 33. 3D floating point models, on the other hand, when rendered in three dimensions using a variety of packages, including VRML, or Virtual Reality Modeling Language, don't have this XY spacing. You can just put a set of real 3D coordinates as single points floating out there in space anywhere in the model, and it'll be accurately and proportionately rendered. The slide you're looking at in one of the standard output files is a VRML 3D floating point rendering of the DEM. I prefer the elevation grids because it gives a more real sense that you're looking at something on the moon. But to really get a feel for the true height or the physical relationships within your DEM model, sometimes the 3D floating point rendering is the way to go. I tend to use both, but if I'm going to publish something on the web, elevation grid model just looks cooler, and people tend to use that. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 34. This next subpart of the presentation explains how to use a VRLM internet-enabled, VRML-enabled internet browser. Some of you may not have been exposed to it before. The client that I'm recommending that you use is the Parallel Graphics Cortona VRML plugin. It works with Internet Explorer, Netscape, and Safari. As far as I can ever tell, it's always been a really well-behaved VRML plugin. Never had any concerns running it on a Windows box. There are a couple of pre-canned elevation models that have been prepared for you if you have not already opened up and have been working along in demcarlotto.method.xls. As long as you've installed the Cortona plugin to your internet browser, you can go ahead and open the two files that are listed here and work along on how to use a VRML browser. Let's go to next slide, slide 35. And again, if you haven't already installed it, pause the recording here and go ahead and get your Cortona plugin installed. The website's listed in the references materials and on the project website. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 36. This is what a VRML browser looks like with a Lunar Dome loaded up in it. For those of you who have never driven a VRML browser before, there are two or three companies that provide these clients. The layout of each of the browsers is standardized by a www.3.org standard. On the left-hand side, we have the mode bar with mode buttons on it. And on the bottom, we have the action bar with action buttons on it. VRML browsers are modal. You activate some of the display mode buttons on the left-hand bar, and then as you drag, left-click, drag your mouse around, it'll move the or rotate the image according to the mode that you selected. Conversely, if you want to do a particular action against the image that you're looking at, for example, in the lower right-hand corner on the action bar is a button called Fit. Pressing the button does the action to the image. The Fit button happens to take whatever image is in the browser and tries to shrink it down, fit it, and center it in the screen for you. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 37. The modes that we will be using for Lunar Domes, there's really only two very simple ones. The first one is the study and turn mode. It's called study and turn because when you press the radio on buttons under the word study and the button under the radio on button for above the word turn, that mode is now activated. When you do that and drag your click drag your mouse from the left to the right hand side of the screen, the feature will start rotating around the center Z-plane axis. And that's usually the study mode that you'll want to use 90% of the time. Next slide, slide 38. I'm an experienced VRML browser user, and when I use study and turn mode, sometimes the feature just gets out of whack and you need to realign it. There's a couple of ways to do that. One is to switch into study and roll mode. Again, on the left-hand mode bar, you'll see the study radio button is on and the roll radio button light is on. That helps the image to rotate when you do the left drag in just a around a two-dimensional XY plane. That helps you get things realigned. There's also a nifty little action button down there called Align that will try to detect any straight edges in your feature and then align that to the borders of the browser. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't work too great. But if you get into trouble, these are the buttons you want to look for. Now, once you've got things aligned and squared up again, then you go back to study and turn mode. Again, hitting the applicable radio buttons over on the left-hand mode bar. Let's go to slide 39, which is the next slide. And in slide 39, you see the result of the lunar dome we've been working with after hitting the fit action button. Here it's taken the lunar dome, it's tried to center it, straighten it up, and make the best, largest view of the feature that's possible. Again, I want to encourage you, since you've got the VRML browser plugin installed on your internet browser, you know, don't make this an abstract study exercise. Load the browser up, click on the files that are provided, and practice and play. That's the way you're going to learn how to use this. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide number 40. And we've completed our discussion now of the using a VRML browser, and we're on to the next and the last major task, which is how do you pull data out of the worksheet, the storage worksheets, where you've put your image pixel maps into the long-term storage, and then put them into the temporary working worksheet called image pixel value map, so you can regenerate a DEM. Like any update operation, you have to do some cut, paste, and overwrite old data. The only thing that's probably unique about this process is you also have to tell the spreadsheet where the upper left-hand and lower right-hand corners of your new pixel, where the upper left-hand and lower right-hand corners of your image pixel map are. Once you've told the spreadsheet where the data is, it's again a matter of going back and generating a new DEM on your new feature. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 41. There are five steps in pulling image pixel data out of storage and putting it into the temporary working image pixel map worksheet. They're listed here, and I've also listed the specific parts of the demcarlotto.method.xls spreadsheet that we'll be practicing with. It would probably be a good idea at this point to review some of those parts of the spreadsheet. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 42. The first thing we'll be working with is the long-term storage of image pixel data. The specific example we'll be working with is the store IPM Cauchy Omega storage data. And we're going to paste that over the existing data in the image pixel value map. The image pixel value map is the working data area from which a DEM is computed. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 43. And when you overwrite data in the image pixel value map in the temporary working area, you have to tell the spreadsheet, you know, where is the upper left hand and the lower right hand corner of your new image pixel map, so it knows how big and how much data to work with. That is done on the workflow control menu worksheet, specifically in step 2. The next thing that we'll be working with is shown on the next slide, which is slide 44. And you may need to update the image characteristics or image data that relates to your new image pixel map. That information is stored, as we discussed at the beginning of the presentation, in the observing log called Store Image Info Log. The things you might change are the image scale and the solar, the altitude of the sun at the feature or solar altitude at the time that the image was taken. And go to the next slide, which is slide 45. Now, the first part of the process is to erase any image pixel data that you have in the working image pixel value map. On the workflow control menu, there's a button that does that. It's called Clear Image Pixel Map. Hit the button. Go over to the worksheet called Image Pixel Value Map. It should be empty. If it's not, you know, highlight all the cells in the spreadsheet and then erase them. Do not erase the spreadsheet labeled Image Pixel Value Map. Don't delete it. The code that computes the DEM needs that worksheet with that name on it. Now, once the Image Pixel Value Map worksheet is empty, just do a manual cut and paste. Remember to paste special values instead of pasting a link to data. For those of you who have used Excel, you're familiar with the difference between doing a straight paste and doing a paste special and then just pasting the values as opposed to formulas. Last thing that we need to do is to identify to the spreadsheet the dimensions of your new data. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 46. On the workflow control menu, there's a couple of data entry boxes in the under step 2. These need to be entered in what's called A1 Excel notation. That means the row and column numbers are simply preceded by dollar signs. If you don't put the dollar signs in, the program will abort when you try to generate a DEM. Now, once you've, and what I do is I go over to the image pixel value map worksheet. I go down to the lower right-hand corner. Check the number, enter it, go back and check it again, make sure I've got the right value in it. Now you might want to ask, why don't you always just assume that the upper left-hand corner is cell A1 in the Excel spreadsheet? Some programs that will take your original lunar image and turn it into an N by M matrix of numbers sometimes add a border around it, a row and column numbers, for example. So when you paste that data into Excel, the upper left-hand corner containing data won't be in cell A1, as you might normally expect. So that's why you've got the two values on rows 2A and 2B. Once you have the data pasted into the image pixel value map worksheet, you've got the dimensions of the data properly entered in steps 2A and 2B. Hit the name pixel range button and that'll identify your data range to the program. It gives you back a status message where it says under step 2 current value, and it lists the dimensions that it's working with. If those are wrong, when you try to generate a DEM, the program will either abort or it'll give you garbage data back. So, read that status message and check it. Let's go to slide number 47. As previously mentioned, you also have to copy the image characteristics, namely the image scale and the altitude of the sun, over from your observing log into the workflow control menu under step 3. Let's go to the next slide, and that'll be slide 48. Now, the process that we just finished, which is pulling data out of long-term storage, putting it in the working image pixel map worksheet, and identifying the dimensions of your new image pixel map to the spreadsheet. Those are key tasks. You've got to practice and master those, or you're never going to enjoy using the spreadsheet. You've got 10 sample data sets to play with. Use them and practice them. Practice with as many of them as you reasonably have time to do until you master the skill. Don't worry about ruining your distribution spreadsheet. If you erase something or delete something that messes the spreadsheet up, restore your backup and work off that. Or download a replacement copy from the project website. Making mistakes aren't going to be fatal. Now, we're ready to wrap up and do a review of the learning objectives for this second presentation part concerning basic operation of demcarlotta-method.xls. And on slide 48, we have learned the various parts of the spreadsheet of demcarlotta-method.xls. You should have a good feel for what each of those items are on the list underneath review item number 1. If you don't, go back and review this presentation a second time. You learned where you do long-term storage of your library of image pixel maps of various lunar features, where those are placed inside the spreadsheet. Again, the worksheets that you store things in are typically prefixed store IM or store IMP. You can name your stored spreadsheets whatever you want to name them. Just do something that's consistent and that's meaningful to you. Let's proceed to the next slide, which is slide number 49. We learned how a DEM is a digital elevation model is generated using the workflow control menu, and that there's a cycle of refinement that goes on when you're creating a DEM. You might run it once, you'll go ahead and delete the prior DEM and gradient sum map worksheets. There's a couple of buttons on the workflow control menu to do that, and then you refine, change some characteristics, and then regenerate the DEM. Get used to that cycle. You'll do it a lot as you use this spreadsheet. You learned how to zero base adjust a DEM. That's fairly self-explanatory. You learned how to export a DEM to a text file. Again, there's one thing to do. You have to hit a button on the workflow control menu. Let's go to slide number 50, which is the next slide. You learned how to use a VRML browser. That's a matter of practice and basically understanding that the left-hand vertical bar is the mode bar and the horizontal bar along the bottom of your browser that is enabled with a VRML client is the action bar. Once you get those two things fixed in your mind, it's just a matter of practicing the physical coordination of doing a left click drag so the feature will do what you want it to do. Let's go to the next slide, which is slide 51. You learned how to move long-term image pixel maps out of storage and put it into the temporary working image pixel value map worksheet. And let's go to the next slide, which is slide number 52. That's the end of this second part of training presentations on how to use demcarlotta-method.xls. in the final and third part, we'll go to the front end of the process. In the second part, we've concentrated on the middle part of the DEM generation process, which is actually generating the DEM using the spreadsheet, and the back end of the process, which is viewing the resulting DEM in three dimensions using a VRML enabled internet browser. The third part is going to concentrate on the front end of the process, which is taking that image that you took of the surface of the moon, extracting out the portion of the image that deals with your feature, turning that into digitized data, and then getting that into a long-term storage worksheet within demcarlotta method.xls. And that's the end of part two.